Thank you, Mr. Hoyer. Good afternoon, brethren and guests. Welcome to you all. Glad to see you here today. Let's see if we can get started right away, and I'll try to keep things short. How is everyone on this wonderful Sabbath day? Oh, about to forget something here. Wonder why my notes look fuzzy. Are you aware that there's only 34 days left? Until what, you may ask? Or perhaps in this brief pause, you're way ahead of me and you already know. Feast of Tabernacles, a yearly celebration picturing the coming millennium, the thousand-year reign of our coming Lord and Savior, an almighty King, the King of Kings, Jesus the Christ, the beginning and the end. Yes, the feast. For those of you who may be planning to keep the feast for the first time this year, I rejoice in your excitement. And I can assure you that wherever you go, you will have opportunity to begin one of the most wonderful and enjoyable times of God's great blessings, and you will also learn a lot, too. Those of you who have kept the feast before, for however many years, you have both heard and been taught its symbolism, its meanings, for both the past generations and for the generations to come. Most importantly is the purpose in God's eternal plan, the plan of Almighty God. Feastgoers, you know of the joys and of the blessings, of the freedom it offers from the cares of this world. And yes, if we're all honest, at times a little struggle, a little hardship, because the world today wherein we have to keep the feast is not the same as it will be in what many of us have come to know as the world tomorrow, the beginning of the rest of eternity, which truly is and will be a joyous time. But brethren, when that day arrives, the literal fulfillment of that day we look so forward to, there is serious work that has to be done. And that, brethren, is why we have been called out of this world and here today. This Sabbath day, a weekly day of rest out of the world, assembled here together as the Lord commands before his very presence, to be taught and prepared by him as the opening prayer asked. And therein lies my biggest challenge today. And believe me when I say, if it were possible, I would gladly step aside that our Lord might stand here before you today and teach you. But it's not that simple. That's not how it is. It's just not that easy. Because, brethren, it's not part of the design. It's not part of the plan. It's sort of a type of two-edged sword. Because, brethren, my challenge here today is to humbly stand before you and at the same time to step aside and allow him to teach you. I know I am afraid to be up to the task, and I am positive that every man who stands up here behind this lectern does the same. But that same two-edged sword does not apply just to me. After all, isn't it all of us here today that have been called out to bring our lives into submission into him? Allowing him to shape and fashion us as he sees fit to put us into his plan. So let's move on now and see how I do with this task. I opened by mentioning the feast, and while it is a most enjoyable holy day celebration, it is only part in a bigger plan that spans across all generations of all humans that have ever lived, that will ever live, on through eternity. Covering all who shall yet be offered the gifts of life, both physical now, which is fleeting and will pass away, but more importantly, just the spiritual and the ultimate potential to live everlasting, to be made eternal, without end. It is a gift from God. It, too, is part of his plan, a plan laid out since the beginning of time, a plan that if not by the plan that is by the greatest architect and designer of all times, period. But not just an architect, a builder, and not just any builder, but a master builder. In fact, the master builder, God himself, creator of heaven and earth, who with the power of his Holy Spirit has through his word put this plan into motion. And who, as the master builder, will see it to completion. And it all started with a plan, a plan which we rehearse each year in the observance of the holy days and wherever else, in the plan of the holy days. So wherever you plan to attend the feast this year, the culmination of those holy days, I wish you the best. Now let me discuss for a moment back to the task of this day. A plan can be simply a series of steps or procedures in order to accomplish a specific task or goal. Or a plan can be a drawing of a tool or other device that is necessary in order for that item to be manufactured or constructed. A good, complete plan will not only depict the look of the final thing, item, or structure, but it will contain the information necessary to build, it will contain the information necessary to define its specific purpose, lay out its size and shape, and include all the individual elements needed to construct that building to ensure that it will properly perform and accomplish its given purpose. And it will end up representing all that the designer had intended. We today, brethren, are part of a plan so great and vast that it encompasses the whole of creation. But much more than that, far more. For we have been given an ultimate invitation not only to be part of a plan, but to be a part of the very centerpiece of that plan and what it shall produce for all eternity. The calling of the first fruits of our God and his creation, his very temple. I am reminded of 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't turn there. We'll get there in just a moment. The temple of the living God, returning with him in glory to usher in that wonderful world tomorrow. Let us go back to that plan for just a moment and finish our springboard. Regardless of the visual beauty of the final structure, regardless of the overall quality and design and planning involved, and even the precision and perfection of the independent parts and how they fit together and perform to make a building or structure complete, if that structure is placed on a weak foundation, it shall fail. Now, for those of you who have been waiting for an SPS, this is about as close as you're going to get. So today, I'd like to take a little quick look at foundations in the Bible. Not, of course, the static foundations that lay under this building, holding up the walls and the roof to shelter us from the outside elements, but about the foundation upon which the plan was built, the foundation on which we truly rest here today. In my study, I discovered some 50 references to the word foundation in the Bible. Not to worry, I'll skip over the majority of them here today. But as for the Old Testament in Ezra 10:11, it's used in a more specific context in reference to the building of Solomon's temple. However, there's many others throughout the scripture that are in reference to God as the creator, laying out the foundations of heaven and earth and his eternal nature, as in Psalms 102:25-27. Let's turn there for a moment and read. Psalm 102:25-27. Again, I'm going to start in 23. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old have you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure. Yes, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall you change them, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. And also in Isaiah 48:13, my hand hath laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Are we ready to stand? Zechariah 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel saith to the Lord, which stretched out forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Hebrews 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. There are more, of course, but time does not allow. Each one a testament in itself to the greatness and vastness of God and his plan for us, and his plan for all of us who assemble here today. So as always, I encourage you, brethren, to open your Bibles. For the digitally savvy, Crank up those search engines and look at the references to the word foundation and foundations. Read through, see what things they spark in your mind. However, in the short time left, I would like to shift our focus to that of a greater foundation, the sure and everlasting foundation that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, as he and he alone should be where we look to build upon for our eternal life and salvation. That is where we should start and end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, to whom we should look always for guidance, instruction, and principles of application that when put to use in our lives will most certainly bring about a lasting transformation to the fruits that we produce. Yes, if we submit ourselves in our thoughts, our actions, yes, down to the very core of our motivations, in what those motivations are based on, when we strive to live the law and show forth the love of our Lord and God, of our Savior, then and only then do we stand and build on a sound foundation. And by his words recorded in Luke 6, verse 48-49, speaking to the people about a wise man, Luke chapter 6, verse 48-49, he is like a man which built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, who built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. For a moment now, let us take a quick look at a few last scriptures that should lead us to a better understanding not only of the true and sure foundation, but also of our role as we allow God to build his house on it and in us. Turn to 1 Corinthians now, 3, and we'll read verses 9 through 15, and then we'll go on to verse 17. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, again, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. According to the grace of God which has been given to us, Paul writing here, as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another builds thereon. And let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For another foundation can no man lay than that which was laid by Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what it is. And if any man's work, aside which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And tying back to the building and the temple of God, as I touched on in the beginning, part of the overall plan of God, let's go on through verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You know, it seems that we have heard much instruction and lately from here on preparedness. And it appears that despite my best efforts to not go there, it's exactly where I ended up. Could cause one to think. So as I will end, as I often do, by asking a question, or more truthfully, a few questions. What are we individually doing with our part as we build on that foundation? Do we look towards our Savior for the guidance and instruction we need each and every day? Do we allow the power of his Holy Spirit, which he so graciously provided through his personal sacrifice for us, to empower us with the ability we need to repent and to change our lives, that we might better represent a part of himself now and in that world to come? Brethren, let our focus ever be towards the kingdom. And its accessibility through and only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, resting assuredly on that sound foundation. being filled with faith in that foundation, like our forefather Abraham, when we read in Hebrews 11, verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Let us go forth and always be about our Father's business.